Now we're going to talk about asking questions. So the first question I'm going to ask is, what is your name to one of our first panelists?
Well, my name is Brandon.
Brandon, it's nice to have you here, and you are often the one that leads the discussions. And let's ask a question for the next person.
Okay, what's your name?
Well, I'm Joe, and it's a pleasure to be here with two panelist leaders, Doris and Brandon.
Well, you already told them my name. My name is Doris,
oh,
right?
Of course.
Okay, well, we can ask each other questions, and you can ask yourself the questions, but information itself is power. And I'm going to ask you, Joe, how is information power?
Well, I think we often hear the common saying, knowledge is power, mm-hmm. and just knowing your own situation and what's going on with your body can make a really big difference in your life.
So the power comes from the fact that once you get the information, then you can do something about it, and that is where the power comes in.
That's right. So you have to learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do some research, and it's very important when it comes to your health, because if you don't know about something, if you have some problem, you may not know what to do. So it's good to have some general knowledge when it comes to your health.
And that's the name of the article on page 16. But you know, the interesting thing about the health is no matter what you talk about, they change it all the time. Sometimes they used to say coffee isn't good for you. Now they say it's good for you. They said you should eat raw eggs. Now they say you should eat hard eggs. So keep changing it. So I'm asking a lot of questions. How come they change it all the time?
There's this hilarious YouTube skit I saw where someone from the future time travels to the past every couple of minutes to say, oh, your breakfast isn't healthy. Change it. And then comes back again. Oh, this new breakfast is also not healthy. Go back to the old one. The standard changes, but we try to, I think, follow it just to sort of know maybe what are the guidelines for a healthy diet, for instance.
Right. So we can ask some questions about it, you know. But I do think this idea about prevention is much better than trying to take care of something once it happens. If you're sick and you have to have medicine, oh, that takes a long time. But if you can prevent getting sick, I think that's very important.
You are right, Doris. Prevention is key when it comes to your health. If you wait until it's too late, then, you know, it's hard. You can't prevent it. It's already there. And then you have to deal with it, and it's better to prevent it in the first place.
Right. And one of the biggest things that people often neglect is what we call our immune system, which is the thing that kind of guards us from getting colds and diseases and things. And so we have to think about these things, and we can ask questions about them.
Well, what I do is I try to take vitamin C, especially during the colder months when
you
I feel like
it every time.
A cold
the
is coming on or okay. feel the least a little bit sick, I try to take some vitamin C.
All right. You should take it every day because it builds your immune system. It's like the soldier standing over there and saying to the germs, you can't come in here. I'm in charge.
Right. And just knowing things about your body and what it needs and, you know, what kind of supplements you need. Some people, so for instance, my wife, she has, you know, issues with iron deficiency. Mm. So she actually has to take a lot of iron supplements. You know, just knowing that information about what does your body need and how do you stay healthy.
So we're going to find out more about that today, and as we study this lesson, and we're going to ask these Harvard experts from Harvard University, young adults need to take prehypertension seriously. So a lot of you are young adults, or even if you're older, we probably all have to take this seriously.
That's right. First of all, hypertension is when you have high blood pressure. So prehypertension is when you're on the borderline. You are close to having high blood pressure. It's like a warning sign. You're not there yet, thank God, but you could be if you don't take care of the issue.
Well, we do have some questions. There's a question here, and there's an answer. So let's start on page 16 by reading the first question and the answer, and then we can discuss it, okay? You
All
ready?
Right. Yes.
Asking questions for prevention. Information is power, especially when it comes to your health. Ask the Harvard experts. Young adults need to take prehypertension seriously. Question. I checked my blood pressure at the local pharmacy. The reading was 129/84 and said I am at risk. I am only 24 and consider myself very healthy. Should I be worried? Answer. Young adults with even slightly above normal blood pressure may be more likely to have heart problems later. So, you do want to take action now. But at the same time, you don't need to worry. For decades, high blood pressure, hypertension, has been defined as a blood pressure of 140 over 90 or higher. However, during the last 20 years, multiple long-term studies have shown that blood pressures higher than 120 over 80 are linked with an increased risk of heart disease and stroke. That's why we have the term prehypertension. It describes people with blood pressures between 120 over 80 and 139 over 89.
Well, that kind of sounds like a math lesson to me. Mathematics is something over something. But the question, of course, here was when they check their blood pressure. Now, you can check it. Sometimes you go to a drugstore if they have one, or you go certain places where they'll have one where you can check your blood pressure. And if you go to the hospital, of course, they always check it. But you can have little things you can use at home, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are different little medical kits or, you know, even convenience stores. You can just go in and
check it, you know. So his reading was 129 over 84. That sounds pretty good to me. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's a little over the recommended, reading. It's recommended that we have a blood pressure below 120 over 80. So it's not terribly bad, but it may cause him some concern.
So you wanted to know if he was at risk. When you mean at risk, what do you mean by that?
Right. So at risk, we think of just being in a dangerous situation. We often talk about being at risk of something, and so he could be at risk of having some issues down the road.
You often see this phrase in medical articles when they're talking about some disease. You're at risk of this or that.
Mm-hmm. It might happen to you. It's a danger for you.
Right. There's some danger.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they say about this. Now, the answer here said that young adults, even slightly above normal, might be, this is so you will have. So don't be that scared. But, you know, just watch it a little bit. They might be likely to have heart problems later. Does not mean they will.
Right. So, again, this isn't to freak anybody out if you have slightly high blood pressure. But it's just to say you may have a possibility of some issues. So, you know, keep an eye out.
Yeah. But you don't really have to do too much, but you don't have to worry about it too much, but you might notice it, right?
Yeah, you might notice it. You might make some changes to your diet. You might exercise more to bring it down if you can.
That's true. Well, you know, as we mentioned at the beginning, things keep changing. Sometimes this is good and it's not good. And the same way with high blood pressure or what we call hypertension, if it's too high. And it used to say that if it's under 140, it's okay. Now they're saying that's not good. But I think 120 to 140 is not that dangerous, but over 140 certainly is.
That's certainly true. And again, the issue here isn't necessarily hypertension, but like what Brandon was talking about earlier, pre-hypertension, where you're starting to get into kind of a red zone with your blood pressure.
I think it's a caution light, you know, the yellow light you see on a traffic light. It's,
That's true.
It brings it up and you can start paying attention to prevent the hypertension, hopefully.
That's true. So they said now that now the last 20 years they keep studying this more, and they said, well, if it's higher than 120, it might increase your risk of high disease, heart disease, and so forth. So it's better to keep it 120.
Right. And so here we can notice it says that there have been multiple long-term studies. And this is where they follow somebody for several, maybe even several decades to see, okay, you have this kind of blood pressure. How's your health later on in life?
That's a good point because, you know, how many studies have they really done and how long do they do them? Here we see they have done multiple long-term studies, so hopefully that information is fairly accurate.
Well, now they use this term, we used to say, well, you have hypertension, but pre-hypertension means that it's not quite there, but it's on the way to that, so before that. So it's kind of like a warning. Like you said, a yellow light. I think that's a good way to explain it.
Absolutely. And notice here it says that blood pressures higher than 120 over 80 are linked with. It's not that it causes heart disease or a stroke. It's just they found this kind of connection between these two factors.
That's true. So it's better to keep it at 120 over 80, but some people get down to 60, and that's too low. That's low blood pressure. That's not good either.
No, that causes other issues.
You can pass out.
Yeah. So, but I think more people are concerned with high blood pressure.
Right.
You know, at least that's what you hear most of the time.
That's true. So this is one thing that we have to think about, and you notice that the pictures that we have here, somebody's holding a weight in their arm and they're trying to decide what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we think exercise does help keep your blood pressure down a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And sometimes we think I don't have time. But what I've noticed is some people, they make time, you know, at work during lunch. Mm-hmm. You have an hour lunch break. You can go for a short walk, maybe a 20-30 minute walk in your area. And,
even a 10-minute walk.
Just start off small, 10 minutes, and maybe build up a little bit, and that may help bring your blood pressure down.
Right. You know, Brandon's so right with just little things like taking a walk or whatever kind of exercises you can incorporate into your life on a daily, you know, with a daily routine is just perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I think exercise has a lot to do with it, and eating does too, and so forth. So this is what we're going to be talking about here. We're going to ask questions about it. And there's the next paragraph. It's not very long. Let's just read the top of the second column down through line 10.
The results of a recent study suggest that prehypertension begins to influence heart function earlier in life than previously shown. The researchers looked at a large group of men and women, ages 18 to 30. During the next 25 years, those with prehypertension were more likely to develop signs of heart disease.
Okay, so now we are talking about a recent study and the results and what that suggests.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. And so here we're going into digging into prehypertension and how it influences heart function earlier in life than what we previously expected, you know, from past studies.
And this is what is concerning, because this guy who's writing in is only 24 years old. And if you're having problems that early, that might frighten you. And I can understand his concern.
Well, in fact, the researchers looked at men and women, because sometimes there's differences there, between the ages of 18 to 30, so that's still comparatively young.
Right. You know, 18 to 30, you're kind of in that invincible stage. You think you're really strong, you're healthy, you're not seeing the doctor that often, and so you wouldn't expect to have big, scary medical terms like prehypertension to
impact somebody's
your life.
You know, if they're 28 years old and their blood pressure is 140, that's a little scary.
Yeah, it is.
So, and they say those, if they might have prehypertension even, and if you do that, you might get heart disease later. It doesn't say you will, but it's a warning sign, isn't it?
Right, and so it notes that during the next 25 years, those with prehypertension were more likely to develop signs of heart disease.
Right. So there's going to be certain things we can look at. There's going to be tips that we can look at that might change our lifestyle for making a lifestyle transformation. What is a transformation?
It's a big change, and we often need different kinds of transformation in our lives.
And I think we've heard a lot of these before, but we're talking about this question today, so we'll put them all together here for these tips, and let's read the tips right now.
Tips for making a lifestyle transformation. You can decrease the risk that your blood pressure will rise with age, and that means a lower chance of heart problems and stroke later on. First, if you smoke, quitting is the top priority. You hear it over and over, but diet and exercise do work. Strive to maintain a healthy weight. Make vegetables and fruits half of every meal. Potatoes don't count as a vegetable. The other half should contain healthy protein and whole grain carbohydrates. Reduce salt intake. Use a little less salt every day, and soon you will enjoy food just as much as before. Stay physically active as much as you can all day, and get a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise most days of the week.
So these are some of the tips, and let's discuss them as we go along here and see what do you think about this decreasing the risk in your blood pressure. It's going to rise with age, right?
Yeah, and so this means a lower chance of heart problems and stroke later on. So you can decrease the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get older, it's more likely that your blood pressure could rise. You can decrease the chances of that happening, and we have some tips here.
Well, sometimes you don't get as much exercise. Like when I was in high school, I played tennis after school every day and all, but you don't do that when you get older. So that makes a difference.
Right. It really does. For most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, we get less active as we get older.
Yeah.
It's not the case with everybody. I have a friend who is 61 and just did his first triathlon.
All right.
And I'm like, you go, buddy. And so I think here, just getting this lifestyle transformation mm-hmm. will be very helpful as you go into your older years.
That's true. And you still have to get exercise, but you don't want to overdo it. Sometimes people do too much, too.
Right. If you don't exercise, I don't recommend just going out and doing a marathon or something.
No, can do fast walking. That's good for you.
Oh, yes. That's right. You can just walk, and that does great things for your health.
And nobody wants to have heart problems. And so many people, they have to get stents put in their heart and all kinds of things because their heart's not working right. You see that so common.
Yes.
Right. And so what we're talking about with these tips, of course, is what you can do to prevent issues that haven't arisen yet. You have pre-hypertension. You're pretty healthy. Here are some things that can get you into great territory to have a healthy life later on.
Well, the first one they mention is one that I think everybody has heard these days. Now, a long time ago, and like even in the 40s and 50s, there were always these ads and people were smoking in the movies, and it was very common. And we didn't always like the smoke, but we didn't think about it as being so dangerous. But now they realize that smoking is really, really bad for you.
That's right, and so that's the first thing you should do. If you smoke, you should quit smoking, and there are different programs that you can partake in and roll in that can help you with that, but this is top priority.
And sometimes, like if a father smokes, the smoke's in the house and the kids get it. So
secondhand
it's not
smoke,
just your health, secondhand
it.
Smoke, right?
Yeah.
What about pollution? Isn't that kind of the same as having smoke? I mean, if there's pollution in the air from too much gas and stuff, doesn't that affect you the same?
Right. We often see that now with cities, we have really high, 2.5 PM particulate matter, which is very, very bad for you. I don't know what the tip would be there. I know in some cities, people will often wear masks with different kinds of ventilation.
You don't even know for sure how good that does.
Right. It's really hard. But if you do smoke, that quitting is number one priority for you.
And even though fewer people smoke, you still see an awful lot of young people smoking, though.
Yes, you do. But, for years we've known that it's bad for you. And I think that people realize that more and more.
So if you smoke, quit it now. Don't wait, right?
Right.
So that's top priority, is smoking. And then the second one we talked about is what?
We talk about, and again, we hear this over and over and over, diet and exercise really do work. And so one of the goals here is maintaining a healthy weight.
And I like that they use the word strive. You work at it. It's not easy necessarily, but you have to exercise. You have to watch your diet.
I know it, because it's easy to gain weight. You know, when some people say, oh, you've lost weight, I say, I've lost hundreds of pounds, because you gain a little bit and lose it and gain it. So if you add it all up together, you've lost hundreds of pounds.
I've been successful at losing weight for my entire life, but more successful at gaining it.
So that's one thing, you have to kind of watch it all your life. And you should get weight and see, and if it starts to go over it, do something about it immediately. Don't wait until it gets to be too much.
This is the thing. I think tracking your weight or tracking your health, just on your own and having that as a daily habit or even a weekly habit is very good, because it's so easy, especially any holidays, you wake up and all of a sudden you're 10 pounds heavier.
Well, Chinese New Year was just over and that was bad for everybody. Right.
You eat all this food. What happened?
But, you know, you still have to strive. You have to keep at it. So try to maintain and keep your weight healthy and also your exercise. Like we said, keep doing it. Right.
That's right. You know, make a habit of it and do something that you enjoy. Don't choose some form of exercise that you hate. Do something you like.
Now, we all know about number three. We've heard so much about eat your fruit and vegetables, but wow, what does it say here about how many you're supposed to eat?
Right. So make vegetables and fruits half of every meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever snacks you might have.
You mean not noodles and rice? And
I am so guilty of this. I can go weeks where my lunch is some kind of noodle dish.
Yeah, or sandwiches or whatever, you know.
Yeah. But I like vegetables and fruit too, but I can go days without eating fruit. I think, oh, I need to eat more fruit.
Yeah, and same way with vegetables, you can eat a couple, you know, but oh, you don't to eat that much. Well, you know, potatoes are supposed to be vegetables. What about potatoes?
Oh, yeah.
So this is the interesting thing. Potatoes are definitely not vegetables. We categorize them as a starch. So if you're eating French fries, don't think you're eating vegetables.
What about baked potatoes? That sounds
healthy.
Yeah,
well, potatoes are not a vegetable. Let's face it, you know. I wish they were because they fill you up a little bit, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, even baked potatoes, they'd be good. Without butter?
Yeah.
Oh, with butter, they're better.
Butter's much better.
You guys. One of the things that's really interesting is this definition actually really impacted the American school system, because it used to be kids would have French fries and ketchup, mm-hmm. and ketchup is made from tomatoes. So schools would say, well, they got their fruit.
Yeah.
And, well, they had French fries, so they got their vegetable. It says,
no, those
are not fruits and vegetables.
Right.
That is ketchup and French fries.
Yeah.
So remember that they're supposed to be half of every meal. Maybe one third or, no, half. Half sounds like a lot to me.
It's a lot.
I like a little bit of vegetables, but I don't know about half.
Yeah, half's a lot.
That's
I like
harsh.
Vegetables, but I like the next part. It talks about protein. Mm. The other half should contain healthy protein and whole grain carbohydrates.
Oh, boy, we can eat some carbohydrates. That's good news, isn't it? What are carbohydrates?
Well, carbohydrates are simply, it's a substance, one of several substances such as sugar or starch, and provides the body with energy. Mm-hmm. And so I love to eat bread.
Mm.
And but I can't eat too much, but at least it looks like I can maybe
eat some. You
could,
but you shouldn't.
I shouldn't, right? That's right.
Whole grain.
I like that, too. I like all kinds of bread.
Bread.
Sweet bread, cinnamon rolls.
And noodles are nice.
I don't think they're talking about cinnamon rolls,
spaghetti, Hey, come on, we're getting into the carbohydrates. You know, it sounds better than vegetables. Somehow there's something about vegetables that are not quite that exciting.
Part of it. You know, when we think of full, I think of I've had a nice big piece of bread or a nice bowl of noodles, and you have to just get used to the idea.
Bowl of spinach. Come on.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard to, you know, get excited about it, but that's better for you. So you still have to do that. And so these are some things that we have to say, well, I eat a little bit of vegetable. Do you eat half? Well, you don't think about it. Maybe not, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's a good goal to shoot for. Eat half, and maybe you don't always reach that, but at least you're eating more than you are now as an improvement.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what about the third one down here?
The next one is reduce salt intake. And intake is just talking about something that you take in to your body, something you eat or drink. And this one is a big one for me because oftentimes, Doris, I will eat, or I have in the past, I've eaten salty foods. If you eat out a lot, I think there's a lot of salt. Well, not necessarily potato chips, but I think there's just a lot of salt in the food when you eat it out. When you eat out, and you can't really control that because you're not cooking it yourself. And so that's something
true.
To
whenever
focus
you
on.
Eat outside, they put a lot of salt in it because it helps preserve the food, and it keeps it. And even when you buy canned food, it's got a lot of salt in it.
Yes.
It's so true. And restaurants will just lay it on. Part of it's flavoring as well. And so
it won't taste good, but you know.
That's right. And it's really true. If you're eating out a lot, you have to watch it.
And I think an even bigger problem is the prepackaged food. There's so much sodium that can be very
dangerous. There is. So this is why you have to kind of cook it yourself sometimes. So if you eat a little less every day, you'll enjoy it just as much. At least you try. Even if you don't, you better do it for your health, right?
And you notice the suggestion here is, you know, gradually decrease the amount of salt.
Right.
Because your taste palate kind of gets
used to that.
You have to
have some salt.
And so you have to give it time so you can adjust.
Yeah. Well, what's the fifth one here then?
Well, you need to stay physically active as much as you can all day. It says actually get a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise most days of the week. And so maybe you have to get creative here. Like I mentioned earlier, take a walk during your lunch break.
Moderate intensity. So you don't have to necessarily run,
right.
But even walking is good.
Right. Yeah.
And or stretching. Stretching is very
nice.
Good.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of great web resources for exercises you can do easily, no equipment, at your office.
Yeah, you can get off the bus a few stops earlier and walk home or something like that. There are many things you can do.
Mm-hmm. So we need to watch it and then take your blood pressure and see what it is. And if it's too high, find out what it is that you're not doing that you could do and see what can you'd be healthier and your future will be better.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This article makes me think about my own health and some things that I can implement as well.
All right. And so this is our question and answer for prevention, and we're going to talk about a genetic test tomorrow to spot health risks. So we're going to try to keep healthy so we can enjoy life more, aren't we?
That's right.
So be sure to keep your mind healthy by staying in and studying with us every day. That's good for your mind, too. So you got to keep your brain healthy, too.
Got to keep active with the thinking.
Keep your brain active. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.